This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
New voices in your head.
It's Radio
Free
Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 100.5 FM.
The struggle for Palestinian rights in the Middle East has been going on for decades. Over the last several years, a new tactic in that struggle has emerged, the Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions movement. In a very short time, BDS has grown steadily and is now embraced by civil society groups around the world. The Canadian government, however, is a strong supporter of the Israeli government and is seeking to discredit the BDS movement. Tyler Leventon is campaign coordinator for the national human rights organization, Independent Jewish Voices, and he joins us on the phone from Ottawa. Welcome back to Red Eye, Tyler.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here again.
Can you start by telling us what is the Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions movement?
Sure. So the BDS movement was called upon by Palestinian civil society back in 2005. It was over 170 Palestinian civil society organizations that put out this call to supporters of their struggle around the world. And these groups range from political parties to unions to different kinds of associations. And the call out was very clear. It's very unequivocal in terms of demanding that international law be respected by the State of Israel, that Palestinians' rights are acknowledged and respected in full. So the three demands were that Israel end its occupation, its military occupation, over lands it's occupied since 1967, June of 1967, after a war in which it conquered the West Bank, the Golan Heights, and the Sinai. The Sinai has been returned to Egypt. The Golan Heights and the West Bank and Gaza are still controlled by Israel, and that it dismantle its apartheid wall. The second demand is that Israel grant equal rights for the citizens that are of Palestinian origin that live within Israel's internationally recognized borders. And then the third demand is that Israel acknowledge and respect the right of Palestinians to return to their homes and lands, which is enshrined in international law. And this is based on UN Resolution 194, which has been upheld by the United Nations General Assembly virtually every year since Israel was able to expel close to 800,000 Palestinians between 1947 and 1949. And then there was a second large expulsion around 1967. So Palestinians have tried to negotiate with Israel on numerous occasions, and Israel is completely disinterested in granting the Palestinians even a tiny state on just a small fraction of their historic homeland, and has done everything in their power to destroy any hope of there being a two-state solution that would include a viable, contiguous Palestinian state. So this is an attempt by Palestinians to nonviolently resist Israel's ongoing occupation and colonization of their homes, and to resist that through solidarity with supporters around the world.
And have there been international governments that have been supportive of this movement?
Well, the sanctions part is kind of the, seems to me to be kind of the third step in this. It really does start at the civil society level. So popular kind of boycott campaigns, and then campaigns as well to try and get companies that are invested in by pension funds that you may be associated with, that your church may be associated with, that your union may be, to have those companies that are complicit in what Israel's doing removed from portfolios. And as well, we also see the importance of states putting pressure on Israel. So we see that kind of more as being something in the future down the line that more states will adopt. But that's not to say that it hasn't been adopted by certain states. In fact, after the assault on Gaza this summer, there were several Latin American countries that announced that it wanted to boycott Israel, and they removed their ambassadors from Israel and that kind of thing. So there's definitely support in the global south, But Western countries are still very much complicit in what Israel has been doing to the Palestinians. They continue to trade with Israel and grant, even in the, you know, in the case of Canada, grant a free trade agreement, so tariff-free products, you know, from Israeli settlements, from illegal Israeli settlements that even Canada's official public policy acknowledges are illegal under the Fourth Geneva Convention. So we actually give, instead of sanctioning Israel, we give further benefits to Israel. So this is something that we hope, with further civil society involvement and raising you know, a certain level of awareness within civil society, we will get to the point where Western governments will start following in the footsteps of governments in the global south who have already started to join in calls for boycotting Israel. Oh, I'd like to add as well that the African National Congress, responsible for overcoming apartheid in South Africa, has endorsed the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement.
So do you want to talk about Canada and what tactics the Harper government are using to, in fact, even discredit the movement?
Yeah, this is an extremely disconcerting situation here in Canada, because not only is our government highly complicit in what Israel's been doing to the Palestinians and was cheerleading behind Israel and their assault on Gaza over the summer, but since basically since January 20th of last year, when Harper made his speech at the Israeli parliament in the Knesset, he announced that the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement is kind of the new face of anti-Semitism, is akin to a quote-unquote new anti-Semitism, which essentially means that criticizing the state of Israel, its policies, its laws, and its actions is equivalent to a hatred of Jewish people, which is absolutely ridiculous and is not at all accurate. But they're doing this as a way to try and silence criticism of Israel and this growing movement that's trying to apply nonviolent pressure on Israel to reverse its ongoing colonization of Palestine. And recently, Harper's government has kind of ramped up this propaganda campaign against human rights activists in support of Palestinians. So just a couple weeks ago, Steve Blaney, who's our public safety minister, was speaking at the United Nations at a conference convened by Israel to oppose anti-Semitism. And in that speech, he said that BDS is the new face of anti-Semitism, and that's you know, one of the ways that Canada will combat anti-Semitism is to try and challenge BDS. And then, you know, around the same time, within our own House of Commons here, there was some statements made by Chris Alexander, who's our Minister of Citizenship and Immigration. And Chris Alexander essentially said the same thing and was conflating, you know, the Holocaust and the terrible, you know, massacre at the kosher supermarket in France and the Charlie Hebdo attacks with anti-Semitism, and said, well, Canada is going to combat anti-Semitism by openly opposing the BDS movement. And then, you know, around that exact same time, this is the most disturbing of all, former Foreign Minister John Baird and Transport Minister Lisa Raitt were in Israel and signed a memorandum of understanding with the Israeli government saying that Canada would engage in a campaign of public diplomacy to oppose boycotts of Israel. And it says very clearly in this memorandum of understanding that the quote-unquote selective targeting of Israel reflects the new face of anti-Semitism.
And this kind of discredit of the BDS movement actually started a few years ago with the Canadian Parliamentary Coalition to Combat Anti-Semitism. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. So this was not an official parliamentary commission of any sort. It was a handful of parliamentarians in Canada that used their status as parliamentarians to give false legitimacy to this project that they were engaging in, which was trying to create a climate of opinion in Canada that would recognize that support for boycotts against Israel or any kind of boycotts that would put pressure on Israel to change its policies in the West Bank and Gaza would be deemed anti-Semitic. So they struck up this kind of commission, an ad hoc commission on their own, and they tried to handpick certain people in Canadian society that would give testimony that would essentially prove what they were trying to seek out. So they interviewed selectively certain people and avoided other people. For example, Independent Jewish Voices, our organization, wanted to testify before this commission, and they ignored our requests and several other requests from different organizations that have critical views of Israel's policies. But even in the end, after kind of hand-selecting these individuals that would take part in this inquiry, they still were not able to establish clearly that there is this kind of new anti-Semitism in Canada that was something that the government had to take, concrete steps towards combating. So ultimately, it was kind of an embarrassment. The Bloc Québécois decided to back down and wasn't a part of it in the end. And there was an NDP MP, Judy Wiseley-Elise, who also decided that she didn't want to lend her name to this very bizarre and disturbing kind of endeavor. So ultimately, it kind of just faded away from memory, and it hasn't really been talked about for a number of years now. Part of the reason why it failed in its endeavors is because Independent Jewish Voices was very outspoken about the kind of sinister motivations behind this coalition, and we exposed them. We did a great video where we had free speech proponents from across Canada. We had lawyers and civil rights leaders from across the country condemning this coalition. So it didn't really get anywhere. But what that does show is that this is something that the government has been thinking about for a long time. And certainly the most recent attacks on BDS should be very alarming for supporters of free speech in this country.
And before I let you go, Tyler, what is your organization, the Independent Jewish Voices, working on now?
We're working on a number of items, but right now this is certainly one of our priorities, is trying to combat this, trying to expose it. Unfortunately, the mainstream media is not interested in covering this. I'm very appreciative that you have me on your show to talk to your listeners about this issue, because, I've tried to send, an op-ed piece to the Toronto Star, for example, and I haven't heard back from them. It's been over a week. We sent press releases to journalists across the country. And sadly, this is the only, reporting that's been done on this interview that we're doing right now, which is shocking. So we hope to spread the word about this further and try and combat it before things get any worse. And of course, we're continuing to support boycott, divestment, sanctions initiatives and universities across the country, and doing what we can to expose Israel and its apartheid system.
Well, Tyler, thank you so much for joining us this morning and telling us about the boycott, divestment, sanctions movement.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for having me.
I've been speaking with Tyler Leventon in Ottawa. Tyler is a campaign coordinator for the human rights group Independent Jewish Voices.